105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BizConnect, the bi-weekly business radio show with myself, Martin White, and my superb co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, lovely to see you today on this cold winter's morning.
I know, it's a bit nippy today, isn't it?
It's turned, hasn't it?
It has turned.
Definitely turned. I saw lots of Christmas decorations going up this weekend. I don't know about you.
No, I'm foregoing that for a little bit longer, but quite a few of my neighbours have been putting them up, so yes.
Yeah, so it's starting to kind of feel a bit festive, isn't it?
Well, since we've been having a lot of Christmas songs on the radio, but I still haven't heard the one that actually means it is coming up to Christmas yet.
Okay, right. Maybe we've got that on the show later.
Maybe.
But if we haven't got that, I know what we have got. We've got another action-packed couple of hours, an hour and a half, in fact, of studio guests
and
some business news and discussion and topics. So tell us, who have we got on the show today?
Well, today we've got Alison Gordon and Dave Turnbull from the Computer People. So it'll be interesting to speak to them, see how things have been going through lockdown.
Because they're a nice local business.
They're based
down in New Romney. So, it'd be lovely to hear from them.
And Adam Clegg from Swift Accountancy.
Fantastic. And Adam's a new startup business. So he's going to be talking to us about useful advice and tips, I think, for anybody out there that's thinking about starting up their own business. So that's fantastic. What we're going to do, though, I think, first of all, Tracy, is play a little bit of music.
Fabulous.
And we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to our show this week. We're going to start with a chat, as we usually do for the first part of this show, just to have a look around and see what's been happening in Kent and the UK in relation to businesses. As you may know, last time I did speak about an organisation called the Excluded UK. This is in relation to nearly 3 million people that have been excluded from any help and assistance from the government. People may have seen, actually, in the last few weeks, so there's been quite a lot of momentum going on the TV and the news about this group of people, of which I know many, many businesses are included in this group, and they've really, really suffered. There's been a lot of things going on, and it's going to be interesting to find out this week what's going to be happening, because I know the Lord Mayor of London, the Mayor of Manchester and Liverpool have actually recently just written a letter to the Chancellor to actually realistically deal with this situation.
So let's be clear. We might be talking about, for example, Tracy, directors of limited companies who don't actually employ anybody. But they've been encouraged to set up a limited company by the government, let's not forget. And they've been excluded from things like business rates, perhaps because they run their business from home. They can't furlough themselves, obviously, because then there wouldn't be anybody to run the business. So that's not realistic. So they, and obviously they don't qualify for the self-employed support scheme either.
There are so many groups of people. I mean, like, there's roughly 200,000 newly self-employed, 225,000 self-employed earning £50,000 in trading profits. That's not a salary, that's trading profits in their little business. Also, we've got 1.175 million of those earning less than 50% income from self-employment. There's £300,000 new starters, 100k worth of denied furlough, 390,000 PAYE freelancers, 710,000 limited company directors, and 491,000 people who have been on maternity, paternal, adoption leave, included across various excluded categories. It is a huge vast of people, and all of these people actually pay their taxes. and we still cannot get Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, to actually address this issue.
Or even acknowledge it,
Exactly. And to be honest, personally, and I know that the many people that are part of Excluded UK are so annoyed that a politician will not actually address and answer the question in relation to the 3 million people that have been left out. They're already patting themselves on the back on the delivery of the self-employed schemes, etc. Well, well done. Fantastic. Yep. But you left 3 million people out. And 3 million people who have businesses, have worked hard to put food on their tables, that don't have yachts, don't live in mansions, don't have millions in the bank. These people are literally selling, some people are selling their equipment that they use to do their job, to pay their mortgage or rent or put food on the table.
Well, it's fair to say that it's the noise kind of ramped up significantly last week, didn't it? With TVAM. So was it Piers Morgan?
Piers Morgan. Yeah, they were on the Andrew Marr show. It came up on the Andrew Marr show yesterday. I know a lot of people from Excluded UK were very, very disappointed with that interview. Keir Starmer was addressed on LBC a few weeks ago. He actually addressed Boris Johnson on this question from a caller to LBC on this, and he managed to swerve it. And, you know, it's just annoying and so very annoying. Most of these people have tax bills to pay at the end of January, and they have not got that money anymore because they have spent that putting food on their table and keeping a roof over their heads. And the amount, and this is what really, really worries me the most, is the amount of really serious mental health issues that this has created. People are literally losing their lives to this.
So tell me, what's the best way for people to get involved? You mentioned the Facebook page. Is it a question of signing, you know, joining the group and adding your voice to that group?
And do you know what? I've joined it, and I put a few things on there. I've spoken to a few people on there. It's a very, very good site. There's a group of team of people that actually do look out for people that are really, really struggling, especially with the mental health. But yeah, please do. If you are in the excluded zone, then by all means go into your Facebook page, find Excluded UK, join the groups, participate, speak to someone. Please speak to somebody. They've got a Twitter account, they've got a LinkedIn account, they've also got a website, which is excludeduk.org. There's so much information and help on this site. It is absolutely fantastic.
And the more people that sign up, ultimately, the more the government are going to have to take note, presumably.
Well, we're hoping. I mean, the really big thing is this week, obviously, Rishi Sunak's going to be announcing his plan on Wednesday, I believe. And I know a lot of people have really, really been trying to get hold of the Treasury to say, look, you cannot exclude these people anymore. You know, okay, it was complicated to begin with back in March, but you've had since March to find a solution. And I do know a lot of people out there, a lot of organisations have actually addressed the potential solutions to the leaders of the Treasury. To say, this is what you can do. It's simple. You have, HMRC already have all the figures for all these individual people. So, you know, just really, really sort this out, because it is literally, people are losing their lives to this. And it's so sad. And it really does worry me so much about
so
this.
So, if you are one of these people that has fallen through the cracks, as it were, in the government support programs, do join that Facebook page, do have a look at the website, and lend your voice, crucially, to what has become quite an important campaign, frankly.
Oh, most definitely. And they're always looking for case studies, always looking for case studies. And there is another website called Gaps in Support appg.org, and they actually are asking people to fill out a survey on that website if you have been excluded. I'll put this all on my LinkedIn page and Twitter page today. So please, you know, and don't suffer in silence. That's my main concern for most people out there. They're suffering in silence, and you really don't need to. It's not your fault.
Right. Tracy, thank you for that. I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a bit of music, and then we'll be straight back with a kind of a brief update on some of the local grant schemes that are now rolling out at kind of individual local authority level. So we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Biz Connect today. Tracy, we were talking about The Excluded before that musical interlude there. Another thing I think businesses need to be aware of at the moment, and business owners, is there is obviously another wave of grant funding, if you like, that's being rolled out through local authorities at the moment. So there's two kind of bits to that, really. One is directly related to business rates that your premises may qualify for, and you don't actually have to have been paying business rates either. You might have been zero rated, for example, but nevertheless you can still apply for this business rate support grant. So that really is for businesses that have had to physically close.
Yes, that's right,
I believe. And I think the kind of the lowest tier for that is £1,333, and then it kind of goes up in increments according to your the rateable value of your premises. So that's kind of one thing that I'm sure most business owners with premises are aware of. The other thing that business owners may not be aware of is obviously the discretionary grant.
That's right.
That's also rolling out. That's kind of sitting side by side with that. So you may not have premises, for example, but you may be running a business that has obviously been adversely affected by the current lockdown that we're now in. And they really are looking at this as a month of November in isolation, if you like, rather than kind of what may happen after November, when we come out of lockdown on the 2nd of December.
That's right, yes.
And what necessarily happened pre-lockdown. But if you are a business that is suffering adversely at the moment in terms of profitability and sales, obviously, in turnover, then there is this supplementary additional discretionary grant that has been allocated to local authorities on a per capita basis, which is a little bit unusual, because last time round, when they did it for lockdown one, it was done obviously on a kind of it was allocated by a number of businesses, really, in the community. And this time around, it's been done by sort of headcount, really, in terms of local population. And again, I think it's much more, it's nowhere near as generous as the grant for the initial lockdown on a kind of discretionary level. And I think you're looking at a sum of money up to £1,333 again, typically. But that will be a maximum that businesses can apply for. But, you know, nevertheless, it's still £1,300. And, you know, again, you might be a company director, for example, that runs their business from home. So you have got ongoing, property costs in terms of running your business, regardless of the fact it's from your home office. And no doubt you will have been adversely affected by what's going on, and therefore you are perfectly eligible to apply for this. So what you need to do is have a look at your local authority or council website. And all of the information should be on there under their kind of business support section. They're not necessarily very good at publicising it. So, you know, I wouldn't wait for them to come to you to tell you that it's actually available for you to apply for. You really need to take the initiative there, I would suggest, and kind of look into that yourselves.
Yeah.
But it is a fairly straightforward process in terms of applying for that. And as I say, it's, you know, it's something that's better than nothing, ultimately.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And the thing is I must admit, this time round, they do ask you a few more questions. Mm. I think a lot of people were worried because of the fraud aspect. So it's very much like you have to say, yes, you're entitled to this, and you know.
I think it's largely self-certified.
Yes.
But I think in the small print they're saying, well, actually, if you tell us you're not insolvent and we subsequently find out that you are because you've been declared bankrupt or something like that, then, you know, potentially...
that's a fraud.
They're going to ask for their money back. But, you know, for the vast majority of businesses who are still trading, who haven't gone down that route, obviously there's nothing to worry about on that level, I would suggest.
Just give it a go. You know, if it's there, just take it. Have a look on the website. Some councils are actually emailing people from their business lists anyway that they feel will be entitled. So, you know, check your junk mail as well.
I certainly think with regard to business rates and that grant, they're likely to contact you directly because you're on their books. But with regard to the discretionary, you're not necessarily, obviously, on your local council's radar. So you need to kind of use your own initiative there. So, yeah, so do check that out. What is slightly worrying, I think, Tracy, is that, you know, they're looking at November as a month in isolation.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you think, well, look, crikey, we knew this was going to happen in October, and so people will have been scaling back on stock, for example, well in advance of the lockdown, which will have an adverse effect on the supply chain there, for example, particularly, you know, hospitality-related, you know, businesses, for example. And obviously it's going to continue, you know, post coming out of lockdown as well. We're not just all of a sudden going to go from zero to, you know, 100% operating capacity and demand again. So, you know, to look at a 4-week period in isolation, I think it's just, you know...
It is crazy.
It is,
and,
really.
And to be honest with you, the calls for the government to actually tell people, you know, exactly what's going to be happening. What are we going to do for Christmas? You know, are we going to be, you know, are we still going to be tiered? Are we going to, what is going to happen in a specific area? Because obviously there's businesses out there, you know, like we were saying before we were on there, you know, we've got breweries around in Kent that are going to need to know if they need to make more beer. And
well, you can't make batch of, you know, a million pints of beer overnight.
It takes
at least 4 weeks to go through a production process. So, I think, again, we're expecting a significant announcement there, aren't we? As a union announcement, i.e. Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales and England, as opposed to an isolated announcement. I think, finally, there is going to be an attempt at some kind of cohesive strategy there across the union.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wait with bated breath. But, yeah, I can imagine anybody in the hospitality sector that is, you know, that is waiting for that news, they need to know.
And their suppliers.
Yeah, they need to know yesterday, not you know, and certainly no later than the middle of this week, which is when I believe the announcement is scheduled.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be today, but I believe when we came in, they were saying it was going to be tomorrow. Yeah. But, you know, obviously, you know, Christmas is around the corner. We were just talking earlier about people putting their Christmas decks up. And, you know, at the weekend, I actually went to a local town that had a market, and it was so lovely to see all these stalls out with people's, you know, talented arts and crafts and bits and pieces.
So let's not forget, there are thousands of businesses out there, artisan businesses, for example, in Kent, who are still operating, you know, and have, for example, moved their, you know, their high street operation or their shop operation online.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are businesses that we need to get behind more than ever at the moment, even if it's, you know, buying a gift voucher that somebody can perhaps use, you know, at a future date, you know, going into the new year. I think if we all have a concerted effort that, you know, when we're kind of going online and we're looking for shopping items, if we kind of think, think local first.
Let's think local. Yeah. Let's not go to our number one, which is Amazon.
Yeah.
Let's go more local. Yeah. Let's have a look at what people are selling. Right. Let's have a look at the local pages on your Facebook, you know, local businesses. Mm-hmm. Have a look at places like Etsy. You know, there's so many people out there that are so talented that make the most fantastic things.
Yeah.
And you're actually putting food on their table for this Christmas.
I was listening to Produced in Kent on my way in today. They were being interviewed on the radio. And they have a fantastic website where you can find out, you know, who these local more artisan producers are in your local area. So do check out their website, Produced in Kent. And, you know, hopefully you'll be able to access you know, some of those kind of products and services on a local level, which is, you know, frankly, it's good for us as a business community.
Yes.
But also it's probably better ultimately on a kind of environmental level as well, isn't it?
Oh yes, definitely. And also you're helping a family out, you're helping individuals, you know, whereas we can all go to a supermarket and do our shopping and everything else, and you know, these are the big old fat guys that have been given huge amounts of money at the beginning of all of this, and which transpired, they've made so much money, they should actually give this money back. But there are businesses out there that can probably give you something so tailored and bespoke to the person that you're looking for a gift for.
Well, think about food and drink, you know, in Kent. You
know, some places are doing the most amazing hampers and gift sets and things like
cheese,
that.
Cheese, wine, you know, beer. You know, we've got all of that on our doorstep here in Kent. So, so you know, make that your first priority to seek these people out rather than, you know, perhaps going your traditional route, I would suggest.
Buying online and then have some random van fly down your road and throw all these boxes at houses.
Well, it's getting a bit crazy at the moment.
It is.
So we'll end it there, I think, on that note of positivity that, you know, despite the uncertainty of the lockdown that we're in at the moment, we do know that we've got Christmas around the corner. We do know that there are some fantastic businesses out there selling some superb products.
Yeah.
So let's seek them out. And let's shop local.
Definitely, shop local.
Support these guys because even if it's down to your local farm shop, I mean, you know, they're still open.
Oh, yes,
You know, go and get your fruit
local
and veg
butchers
at your local farm shop.
Fishmongers places like that.
Exactly.
Fabulous.
Yeah, think local and support your local businesses and we'll all get through this.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Tracy, we're going to play a bit more music and then I think we're going to come back and talk to our first show guests.
Fabulous.
So we'll see you after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back again, everybody, and thank you for staying with us on the BizConnect show today with myself, Martin White, my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, we've got a couple of guests on the line, I believe, haven't we?
Yes, we have, and we're excited to have with us today Alison Gordon and Dave Turnbull from the Computer People down the road at New Romney.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Lovely to have you with us today. So, Tracy just mentioned you're in New Romney. Tell us what have you got down in New Romney and where exactly are you?
We're a local shop. We're just underneath the shadow of the church in New Romney, the big old St. Nicholas Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a workshop and reception area where people can come in, bring their laptops and PCs into us and come and have a chat to us.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So you are the Computer People, so I'm assuming that you deal with all manner of computer problems. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. We cover all sorts. So we cover PCs, whether it be Windows or Mac, working with cloud-based services. So we help people with their email. We help them with application support. So quite often people are suddenly asked to do something that they're maybe unaware of. This year, obviously, the favourite being Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So we've installed and configured and trained people on how to do that. The most recent one actually being Santa, who was in on Friday for his Zoom training. So
was he?
A local, a local venue. Obviously, with the COVID restrictions, customers can't come and see Santa. Mm-hmm. No, he's doing scheduled online appointments, and we help him with that.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. That's thinking outside the box, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Good old Santa.
I'm not sure how Santa's virtual Christmas presents are going to go down with the kids out there this year, but... That's fabulous. So, I mean, this is a great story because despite the fact that we're in lockdown, you guys are still very much providing a really important service, aren't you, for the local community? So, and people can either drop in, you said, and see you. And actually, there is a car park directly next to your building, isn't there? Because I've been there myself, and obviously used you before. But I guess that there's other ways to kind of provide support as well, because I think you can do a kind of a remote support service. You can dial into people's machines, or you'll even go and pick them up. Is that right, Dave? How does all of that work?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we're doing remote ad hoc sort of support. So people have a problem, mm-hmm. give us a shout, and we can connect through to their machines and maybe guide them through what needs to be done. Mm. We actually have some customers, both business and residential, that we actually have a support agent installed on their machines, mm-hmm. and we actually monitor the machines, and we potentially proactively tell them when they've got a problem and can jump on and deal with those as well.
Fabulous.
If we can't deal with things remotely, obviously we are open. People can bring things in. We're sort of following all necessary guidelines, keeping everybody's machines separate, cleaning things down with alcohol wipes and the like, working on it here. And if you can't get it to us, then we can come to you. We come along with a box, we put the box on the doorstep, you pop the item in the box, we bring it back, work on it and return it. So
fantastic.
You know, we can facilitate most eventualities there.
Because I have to say, Tracy, I mean, from my point of view, there's nothing more frustrating than a computer that doesn't work. I mean,
yes.
If you're a business owner that relies on you know, your laptop or your PC and it's not working, then you're at a bit of a loss, really, aren't you?
Especially when you're working from home because you're on your own. Mm. Whereas if something goes a bit awry when you're in the office, somebody go, oh, that happened to me the other week, just turn it off, turn it on again. whereas when you're at home, you're like, it's panic station.
Yeah, it is panic. It is sheer panic. So, yeah. Dave, just want to, and Alison, just want to take you back a little bit now to the computer people, because I believe you're actually, and again, this is another good news story at the moment, you're actually the result of a merger between two businesses. Is that right? So tell us a little bit of background there, if you can.
That's right, Martin. I was working in the shop here as a computer lady for about 3 years. And I used to do a networking thing called BNI. And after a year or two, I dropped out and Dave took over my position down there. The guys down there kept telling him to come down and see me and just have a pop in and have a chat. One day he eventually did, and he's looked after the shop since then, and now we've merged in together.
Fantastic. What a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dave, tell us about that from your from your side of things and how that kind of worked and why it kind of made sense on a kind of complementary skills level.
Yes, my business was Red Boot Tech Services. It had only been trading for probably 4 months before I met Alison. And, you know, I did have several customers, but really was just building things up from my base that was actually up in the Minch Forest. And so I was covering that sort of area. Meeting up with Alison, we found that we both had a very similar sort of history in IT. We'd both been doing it for over 30 years. You know, I'd been working locally for a Folkestone company, BP Travel Trade Services, that then moved to Ashford and became Orbital Marketing. So 30-odd years experience with them. And then, you know, the world changed, my roles changed, and I set up on my own. But very, very, it's very tough on your own, you know, and actually to have somebody else that knows what you do, how you do it, and to share problems has been fantastic. And I think, you know, we've both grown through complementary knowledge and shared experience.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it can be a very lonely business, can't it, at times? And, you know, two heads are often better than one, as it were. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, your you're based down in New Romney, but I'm assuming your catchment is a little bit wider than just New Romney. So tell me, what sort of areas, what sort of geography do you cover?
We cover from Folkestone, Mimminge, right up to Winchelsea and Hastings, with a company in London that we look after as well, so Tunbridge, London. Mm-hmm. It's usually a 15-mile radius from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do get a group of people in a certain area, we will go over there because it makes sense to actually join over there.
Go on, Tracy.
I was going to say, and I suppose that especially one of the things that we found quite interesting during lockdown is that areas don't seem to matter anymore.
Mm.
If you can contact somebody anywhere in the UK, you could actually do work with them.
Mm.
And I suppose that with your business, you could potentially do work with anybody in the UK.
Yeah, we can do. We have got some remote people. I've done some work with customers in Australia as well as UK, so it kind of works with the remote systems.
Somebody just has to get up early.
Yeah. Or stay up late. Yeah.
Or stay up late, yeah.
That's a good point. But I guess your core business really is very much a sort of a local catchment, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned Folkestone, for example, and Hythe and sort of up to Ashford, and that because you're all about service at the end of the day, and Tracy and I were talking about the importance of kind of local businesses in lockdown a few minutes ago, and that I guess is your key selling point, really, isn't it? You know, you can build up a relationship with customers. They see you face to face. They get used to coming into the shop and bringing their problems to you, and I guess that's your USP in many ways, isn't it? It's that personal touch.
The personal touch, actually, you're right. Actually, having the shop here for people to come in, you know, many times they come in, it's a conversation, it's a discussion, their problems are resolved there, and then and they go away, you know, everybody's happy, you know, and then when there's bigger problems, obviously they know they can trust us to actually give sensible advice and good service.
Yeah.
You know, last week we were called out Thursday night, 8 o'clock, for a gentleman that had a problem with a machine. We picked it up that night, worked on it through Friday and Saturday, and dropped it back to him Saturday afternoon. He was an editor of a local newsletter, desperate for it. We can do these things.
And I mean, as someone that's had computer problems recently myself, and having to take my machine back to one of the kind of the probably the largest retailers and support providers in the UK, and being told that actually there wasn't somebody qualified to work on it for a week wasn't really what I wanted to hear. so it's very reassuring to know that on a kind of local level, you guys can provide that resource. So I know where I'll be taking mine next time, let's put it that way. So Dave and Alison, what we're going to do now, we're going to play a little bit of music, and then we're going to come back, and I think we should talk about some of the common problems that are kind of rearing their ugly heads at the moment, and because there does seem to be a theme of kind of slow PCs and things like that at the moment that people are experiencing. So we'll play a little bit of music, and we'll come back, and we'll kind of delve deeper into some of those problems and what people can do about them, if that's okay. So bear with us, and we'll be back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back again, everybody. We've got the fantastic Dave Turnbull and Alison Gordon from the Computer People with us this afternoon. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello there.
Hi. Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the problems that people might be encountering at the moment. So I just want to kind of delve into that a little bit deeper, if we can. And Dave, I know that you mentioned that there's something going on with Macs at the moment with relating to their kind of their latest operating system. So what's going on there exactly?
Yes, so Apple have very, very recently, in the last couple of weeks, launched their latest operating system called Big Sur. It's operating system version 11 now, so they had lots of OS X 10 upgrades, but this latest one, only a week or so old, and as with all major, major changes, there do appear to be some problems on some of the older machines, the MacBooks from 2015 are not restarting, and it's actually fail, it's causing a problem that requires the whole motherboard to be replaced, which obviously is a job for Apple at their expense. The machine that we had in Thursday through Friday, that was a Big Sur update on a one-year-old machine, and the machine went chronically slow. It was slow beforehand, but it just got even slower. It appears that if you leave it a few days, it will get a bit better, but it isn't always great. So our advice at the moment is probably just to hold fire another week or two until some of these sort of problems are ironed out before updating your Mac. It's always nice to have the new operating system, but you don't want the trouble that goes with it.
No. Okay.
No, let somebody else go through them loopholes before you do.
And I remember when Windows 10 came out, it was forever being patched, wasn't it? I mean, I know there's a weekly update anyway that Microsoft kind of send down the pipe, but I remember when Windows 10 first came out, it was notoriously unreliable, wasn't it, in terms of what it was doing to people's machines. So it just seems to be kind of come with the territory, unfortunately, when it comes to that, Dave.
I think it does, yes. The first iteration of Windows 10 was quite painful, and it put a lot of people off. Really did. A lot of people sort of, even now, come into, I don't want Windows 10 because it's a problem. Well, that was 2015. You know, it has improved massively. As you say, Microsoft they actually have a monthly patching cycle, so the second Tuesday of each month,
right,
they release any updates to try and resolve the latest set of problems that have been encountered, whether it be security-related or performance-related.
Now, one of the kind of the themes that I'm hearing at the moment is people's machines running slow. And I tell you where you tend to notice it. You tend to notice it on a Zoom call, on some kind of virtual networking, Teams meeting or Zoom meeting. And bless her, Tracy sitting opposite me. And we were on a networking thing last week on a Zoom call. And it was Tracy's moment to shine on this call. We'd moved to her to get an update, her expert update on a credit management issue. And bless her, her whole machine seemed to kind of freeze, and she was really, she sounded a bit like Norman Collier, unfortunately, on the other end of the phone. We just couldn't make any sense of it. But I guess there's kind of two issues there. One is kind of broadband infrastructure that seems to be kind of bursting at the seams at the moment, Dave. But the other one is also, some people are still running quite old machines, and they haven't got solid state drives, they haven't got the latest version of Windows. So what can we do, what can you do to help people turbocharge their kind of computer performance, if you like?
Unfortunately, we can't do much with the internet. That is just great and support with everyone working from home. But with the hardware, we can actually upgrade the mechanical disks inside your laptop thus to solid state drives, which makes a massive difference to how they work and how they run.
So what does that actually involve, Dave? What's physically in? I mean, do I need to kind of, drop my computer off for a week? How does it kind of work in practice?
Usually what we do is we say, bring your computer in early in the morning and we will get it cloned across to a solid state drive and upgraded. And we'll try and turn it round within 2 days.
So right.
Not without your machine very long.
Fantastic. And when it comes to, I mean, we've mentioned kind of operating systems, a lot of people by choice still want to stay with older operating systems like 7, for example, despite the fact that they're not supported. So how do you kind of approach those kind of conversations with customers when they come to you with an old machine and perhaps an old kind of hard drive and they want to retain their old operating system? Is that still possible to do or not?
It is possible. There are occasions where some of the software they use is just not compatible with Windows 10. It's an older piece of software. We do explain the situation to them and how the security works on it so that they know where they stand with it and that it's not patched, it's not very secure. And we try to talk them into, just point them in the right direction with Windows 10. But we had one last week where his software just refuses to work on Windows 10. And it's priority to his work, so he needs it on Windows 7.
He had to have it, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned you touched on cyber security there. Is that something that you're seeing more and more people being exposed to? Are they coming into you because their computer has been hacked, for example, or, you know, they've installed some kind of malicious spyware, or, you know, what's going on there? Is that something you're seeing more and more of at the moment?
We are at the moment, but that's mainly, I think, because you're a captive audience. There's a lot of people working from home. They could get a hold of you easier on the phone lines. And, yes, you know, they will say to you things like your machine's running slow or you're having problems. Because so many people are working from home, it is running slow, so you'll let them on more than you would normally do. But it's best to bear in mind that none of the big companies will ever call you and tell you they've got a problem.
No. Okay. No. So just be aware. Don't open unsolicited emails. Don't pick up the phone, you know, for numbers that you don't necessarily realise, because it's so easy for them to kind of get a grip of things, isn't it, when you start doing that?
I think it is, yeah. The key thing is that, you know, none of the companies, Microsoft, Amazon or whatever, they will never ever phone you. They're never going to phone you and say, you've got a problem. You call them when you have a problem. So an inbound call purporting to be from one of these companies is malicious, it is a scam, and they are trying to get onto your machine to carry out whatever it is that they're after, whether it be installing software to log your keys, to get passwords and get account details, or whether it's to lock you out of your machine and then leave a note on the screen saying, call us and pay £700 to get it unlocked.
Yeah.
You know, those types of things. So you will never, ever called by a reputable business, bank, etc.
Right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Alison. Well, we're kind of fast running out of time here. So we know you're based down in New Romney, by the church there. There's a lovely car park there. People can pop in and see you. How can we find you online? How can we kind of get all of your details up online? What's your website address, for example?
We're at thecomputerpeopleltdlimited.co.uk. New website under development. This sort of merger has been so recent that the website is still coming, but there is a holding page there with our address, with the contact information, and links back to our original website to get a little bit more content and data for the moment.
Perfect. So phone numbers on there as well, which is brilliant. Good. Well, guys, I think we need to leave it there. So thank you for now. It's been lovely to have you with us and hear about your exciting merger and the brilliant service that you're still obviously providing businesses and consumers out there that need...
keeping everyone online.
Exactly, that need IT help. So it's been great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll hopefully catch up with you again very soon.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Biz Connect. And we've got our next guest on. It's Adam Clegg from Swift Accountancy. Good afternoon, Adam.
Hi there, Tracy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So, tell us a bit about yourself and about your new business.
Sure. So my company is called Swift Accountancy, and as you can probably guess from the name, we do accountancy.
Fabulous.
Is that swiftly, or do you take your time over accounts?
We do aim to, however, we do aim to get things as swiftly as possible because, well, on the one hand, we use a lot of cloud-based systems so that, you know, we are very quick in the way that we do things.
Good. Because I'd imagine this time of year, Adam, it's coming up to sort of quite a busy time for lots of people in terms of submitting their kind of compliance accounts and things like that. So the more quickly, you know, you can kind of help facilitate that turnaround, the better, I guess, ultimately. Because people tend to leave it last minute as well, don't they?
Yes, because we've got the January deadline for tax returns, and I hate to think of how many days we've got on the countdown, but Yes, that's always a stressful time for accountants.
Yeah. So, Adam, just take us back a little bit in terms of your background, where you've come from, and perhaps, you know, your motivation for starting up in business yourself at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. I've been in accountancy for coming up to 12 years now. I'm originally from the Midlands. I've worked for my dad's firm, and then I moved up and got qualified with a couple of regional, decent-sized firms up in the Midlands.
Mm-hmm.
I then moved down to Kent. I met a girl, and the rest was history on that front. And I worked for a firm down in Folkestone, a couple of prestigious firms in Ashford.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then because of COVID and furlough and everything going on there, the opportunity presented itself for me to go on my own, and mm-hmm. it's been something that I've always wanted to do. I thought that I would be doing it, working for myself at some point,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it happened upon itself very quickly, and that's how I've ended up where I am now.
Fantastic. You mentioned your dad's firm. Was that a firm of accountants that you...
It was.
It was, okay. So you
didn't have much imagination when it comes to career choices.
So you had quite a sort of early introduction to accountancy then, didn't you, on that level? So
I did. I remember I was a teenager and looking for work. My dad did get me doing some VAT returns, and I was only 13, 14 at the time, so I cut my teeth quite young.
Yeah.
Mm.
But what I like about that, I think, is the fact that you've had, you know, all through your life, you know, you've had practical business exposure. I think, you know, there's an awful lot of consultants and advisors out there that have never actually run their own business, you know, proper.
Yeah.
But, you know, here they are offering, you know, the benefit of their advice to other business owners, but they've actually really never lived and kind of breathed, you know, working in their own business per se.
Yeah, the pitfalls and everything else that comes with it. Yeah.
So I like that.
I think particularly where it was a family firm, it was very small. We only had no more than half a dozen staff.
Yeah.
But that meant that I was so close to how decisions were being made to see the inner workings, to really strip back the engine and see what was going on. A massive experience that most people, when they're in their early 20s, they don't get to see side of business.
No. Mm. And it's fair to say at the moment that this isn't necessarily, you know, what most people would think of as the ideal time to perhaps, you know, start a new business. But nevertheless, I do think there's an awful lot of people out there who are in the same boat to you in terms of thinking, well, actually, you know, the flip side of everything that's going on at the moment is there is no better time to start a business. So although it kind of obviously brings its challenges, it's also, you know, there's a lot of people thinking, well, you know, I want to be more in control, if you like, of my destiny ultimately than perhaps I have been in the past. Was that a motivating thing for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, necessity is one thing where if someone has unfortunately lost their job because of COVID, and that does leave people in a place of, I've got no excuse not to. They kind of have no other option. But
there has to be more to it than that, I guess, ultimately as well, doesn't there? That, you know, there has to be this, you know, it's. I mean, it can be a very lonely business, and so you do need to be quite motivated, I would suggest, in order to kind of make that work, don't you?
Yes, I have the motivation and discipline and ability to see exactly how you can set yourself apart from people who are doing what you're doing.
Well, that's a good point as well, because, you know, you mentioned that, because you're going to be focused in on a very specific kind of sector of the market, aren't you? You're not just going to be another accountant in the marketplace. You're very much kind of honed in on the startup space yourself, aren't you, Adam?
Yes, absolutely. I've been a startup myself, and all the research that I did when I was looking into taking this step, it made me realise that There's lots of resources out there, but there could be just one kind of cohesive kind of force that kind of pulls everything together.
Mm.
And so that's kind of what I have put together, like a 4-week course, to talk about what I see as the core element that someone needs to have in their head before they start their own business.
Because I think, Tracy, I mean, it's fair to say that a lot of people, they kind of jump into, you know, going into business for themselves. They don't really have any kind of coherent plan in terms of, you know, even something as fundamental as, well, you know, where are my customers going to come from?
Must admit, that is one of the big things. I always say that anyone can set up a business and you can be really good at what you do. There's no, you know, if you've got a quality about you, you've got a skill set that you want to provide, that's great. But there are two jobs of running a business. One's doing the thing that you're good at, and the second job, which is so important, is running the business. And this is where, because obviously what I do, that's where we see a lot of the failings. They're fantastic at what they do. They've got the energy, the drive and everything else, but the real big problem is that they don't understand the fundamentals of running a business.
And
that's so crucial.
That gets taught in school. It's a GCSE and A level, and I don't think it helped me or rely on any of that knowledge to get me to the place where I could start on my own.
So give us what's included in your course then, Adam? I mean, I guess from your point of view, you know, knowing the kind of basic numbers that are driving your business is fundamental for any business owner. But, you know, what other kind of areas are you going to be touching on your 4-week course?
So the first week is talking about really the business plan, as you've said, like getting it right in your mind, exactly what your business is going to do, what the vision is, and essentially drawing up a mission statement. The second week, we then talk about the branding and marketing communication. You know, what is the message that you're trying to convey, and how are you communicating, and are you doing that well? Then going towards getting your 60 seconds that you can then take to a marketing group or elevator pitch. The third week would then look at the customer experience and processes. So once you've got some sales or people interested, then how do you look after them? How do you make sure that you're fulfilling their business needs? And lastly, as you say, it's the numbers, my specialist subject, talking about exactly what your projections are, how you manage your finances and to budget.
And I know you and Tracy both talk the same language when it comes to you know, things like cash flow, for example, and particularly at the moment in terms of being mindful of what that cash flow forecast looks like, kind of week in, week out. So yeah, Tracy, do you want to add anything there?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I've always said that businesses need to have this real good knowledge and skill to be able to run a business, and having these little courses is so fundamental. My biggest bugbear, and people that run these already know my viewpoint, so this is not going to be a shock to them, but a lot of the startup courses that have delivered are how to do a business plan, how to pay your CIS, your VAT, your national insurance and your tax, how to get your business started, but nothing about how to get the right customers, due diligence, how to get paid, to be able to pay your salary, to pay the taxes, to be at £83,000 to your VAT levy. You know, the fundamentals, the real key fundamentals of running a business, which is the cash. If you have no cash, you have no business. And I think, you know, especially during this period, it's been really, really key to see, you know, that kind of thing. And you're right, the branding, the marketing, there's so many different elements of running a business.
Well, I think what we'll do is we're going to play a little bit of music, Adam, and then we'll come back and we'll explore some of those themes in a little bit more detail. And perhaps, you know, you can offer the benefit of your advice to business owners and new startups at the moment in the context of, you know, COVID and a second lockdown in terms of where businesses should be focusing their efforts. So we'll play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. For the final part of the show, we've got Adam Clegg with us today from Swift Accountancy. Adam, great to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
We were talking about the fact that you're a new business startup yourself, just before the music break there. And you've got this course coming up at the beginning of December, a four-week course for potential new business startups, people that are thinking about perhaps going into their going into business for themselves for the first time, or perhaps they've just started a new business. And they've realised that actually, you know, that there's some areas that they need to look at that perhaps they hadn't thought of before. But what I wanted to try and do over the next sort of 10 minutes or so, Adam, is just think about and explore, you know, what businesses can be doing at the moment, you know, whether they be a new startup or perhaps, you know, an established business, to make sure that they kind of come through. You know, the current lockdown and kind of potential future, you know, restrictions, trading restrictions that we might see kind of in the run up to Christmas and afterwards. What sort of practical advice would you be offering businesses at the moment?
I think one of the first things I would say is to look at the grants and funding. So if you're self-employed, there's the next round of the self-employed grants that are coming through soon to make sure that you put in a claim for them. They are going to be taxable in the next year, however, that could be the difference between you staying afloat and not being able to the next year.
Yeah, it's a good point.
To look at the loans, the bounce back loans are now around again. Banks are starting to offer those. To look for grants and for other funding opportunities. I know I saw one last week or the week before where a company, I can't remember which, was offering a free trial of an electric van, and that's the sort of thing that you know, if you were to buy one, the tax advantages are sensational, and to make sure that you are being as proactive as possible.
That's a good point, actually, that last one. I mean, that's actually a Kent County Council initiative called Kent Revs. But you're right. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be cash. It could be an asset that you can use in your business that's ultimately, you know, going to cost you a lot less because it happens to tie in with a, you know, with a green initiative.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you do have an old dirty transit van and you trade it in for an electric, that's going to cost a lot less to run.
Yeah.
And you get a cash injection when you sell the van.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's win-win.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I mean, we touched on, you know, some of the grants at the top of the show, Tracy and I. You're absolutely right about that. And there's a kind of business rates related grant out there. There's also a discretionary grant out there that people need to be aware of. So I guess, you know, when it comes to cheap money, make sure that you've kind of explored all the options there. But, you know, what else could I be doing to kind of make sure that I'm still going to be around, you know, in the new year and able to kind of to take advantage of any new opportunities?
I think one of the things that is often right in front of businesses, and we mentioned this before the music, was about your cash flows and making sure that you do get paid. Some people, they have thousands upon thousands of pounds tied up in their working capital, which is their debtors or their stock that, you know, they aren't being able to make use of. And so to collect on some of those, or to, on the other side, extend your credit terms wherever possible, just to ease it so that you're not at a pinch. You haven't got a bottleneck in terms of in your bank account.
And I guess it's understanding, you know, where those bottlenecks, where those pinches are likely to come, whether it's, you know, whether it's a tax liability, for example, in the new year, or you know, a loan repayment that's going to kind of kick in. I guess it's about knowing exactly when they're going to fall due so that you can kind of plan around those, isn't it?
Yes, and fostering those strong relationships with your accountant, if you haven't already over the last 6 or 7 months, where they've offered so much support in terms of the furlough scheme, to keep those going, to make sure that they are kind of holding your hand and supporting to get access to this, or to spot where things can be improved.
That's a good point. I mean, I think going back to sort of specifically to startups, I mean, You know, how does a startup at the moment go about, you know, winning business to, you know, to get their business off the ground? You know, how do you sort of, how do you generate revenue at the moment in the kind of the context of where we are and the kind of the climate we're operating in? What kind of advice would you be offering to businesses there, Adam?
I think one of the things that startups can do better than larger, more established businesses is to be agile. Find and meet the needs of the customer very quickly, whereas an older, established business, they'll have more processes, they'll have other things that they're spinning plates with, whereas a startup can establish the need and meet it straight away and set that up as their core.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So going back to your workshop series, so we've got a series of 4 weekly workshops that are starting. Just remind me when they start.
It's the 1st of December.
1st of December.
At 2 p.m.
Fantastic. So what's the kind of format of that? How's that going to work in practice on the day, Adam?
We're going to jump onto Zoom, and I'm going to run through a presentation. It's not going to be me talking for a whole hour. I don't think anyone will be able to stay awake for that long, but it's going to try to make it interactive, to talk with other people, to bounce ideas. As you said, it can be quite lonely while running your own business, so to have people around you to support and to bounce ideas off of.
I like the idea of that. So business owners, perspective or existing, you know, may have just started up, will be able to kind of to share some of their angst perhaps and some of the problems that they've been encountering, and it's kind of a very kind of collaborative kind of almost brainstorm and creative session as well.
Exactly. And it's going to be people who they may be just starting out, they may be have 2 years under their belt, but I think anyone who attends will be able to get some knowledge, a nugget of gold out of the course.
Yeah,
I think that sometimes people, especially I think over the last, you know, since March, that so much has gone on. And we were talking earlier with our other guests about, you know, now working from home, you're on your own, there's none of that sort of bouncing back of knowledge and things.
Yeah.
That, you know, some people might go, I know about marketing, I know about branding, but they're stuck. And to be in a room with other people, just having that conversation might spark some initiative in their head going, actually, that's what I'm going to do. So, you know, definitely collaboration has always been my big thing.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, I know my stuff, but there's stuff I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need somebody who knows about that to work with me. You know,
and people are very giving, aren't they, as well?
You know,
you'd be amazed at how much of their time people are prepared to give to you, you know, to offer feedback on a logo or a route to market or, you know, some kind of customer experience kind of strategy. People are very kind of giving with their time. So, you know, the more you can kind of share and create a collaborative environment like that, Adam, I think the better.
I was in a networking group earlier this week, and someone described it. It's a weekly one where there's only one person from each trade, but they described it as their business family, and that's just brilliant, that people feel as supported as they do as a family would.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a really worthwhile thing to take part in.
I think any business or any person out there listening now is thinking, do you know what, I might want to dabble in this, or somebody that's been trading for a year, 2 years, I might need a bit of a refresher.
Yeah.
Get on this thing for four weeks.
That's a really good point as well, Tracy, because, you know, if you don't do something differently, Adam, you're never going to get anything different, are you?
Absolutely,
you know, if the inputs are always the same, then the outputs are going to be as well. So, you know, perhaps you have reached a plateau, perhaps you have reached a bit of a sort of a stalemate, and you just need some kind of fresh ideas and new impetus. So, So, Adam, on that basis, tell us about how we can register. It's a free to attend workshop series.
Yes. It is on Eventbrite, and if you head over to my website, swiftaccountancy.co.uk, there will be a link on there.
Perfect.
Alternatively, look me up on LinkedIn or Swift Accountancy on there, and there'll be a link. Equally on Facebook, there's a page for the company on there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
And yeah, just connect, follow, keep in touch, because yeah, I'll keep putting out advice or whatever I can, whatever resources I think will help startups, yeah. Because I think startups are going to be the next big thing over the next couple
yeah.
of years.
I think there's a lot of people out there, you know, really seriously looking at their kind of future and thinking, well, you know, do I want somebody else making decisions about my livelihood on a day-to-day basis over which I have no control ultimately. So,
and to be honest with you, you know, there's going to be some. I think you're right, Adam. There's going to be an influx of new startups. Mm. But you know, my advice would always be, if that's what you want to do, make sure you've got all your facts and figures ready. You know where you're going to stand, because you're going to thrive and grow and have the most amazing business. But it's about getting that right information.
In
to
advance,
begin with, yeah.
Before you spend any money, sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
It's like when someone buys a car. I knew a friend, and he was umming and ahhing for 2 years. He had his kind of what car subscription before he made a decision. And how much more should you invest in making sure that you start your business on the right foot?
Absolutely. No, definitely.
Yeah. Well, look, Adam, it's been fantastic to have you with us today. It's so exciting to hear about any new startup business. Congratulations to you. And really well done. And, you know, and what a great initiative to help other startups in your first month of being a startup, you know, to get other businesses in the room to kind of share thoughts and ideas and expertise, so that hopefully people, you know, really do hit the ground running.
Yeah.
So really well done to you. It's a great initiative. So we wish you well with that.
Thank you.
And I think what we'll have to do is we'll have to get you back in the new year to tell us how it went.
Yes.
And to tell us about your exciting future as it develops. So that's what we'll look to do.
I look forward to it. That'd be great.
Brilliant.
But for now, thank you so much for joining us, Adam Clegg at Swift Accountancy.
Bye.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Bye.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, I can't believe that's the end of this week's show. Can you?
Another show gone.
I know, it just goes so very quickly.
It's beginning to feel a bit like
Christmas.
Isn't it?
It is, it is. In fact, our next show is going to be the 7th of December. Oh, yes, we're in the festive month. Mm. And it's going to be the penultimate one before Christmas, because we will be having one on the 21st.
Right.
But I'd love to thank our guests, Alison Gordon and Dave Turnbull from The Computer People, and also Adam Clegg from Swift Accountancy.
Look out for Adam's workshop coming
up. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please do, please do. And in the meantime, thank you, Martin.
Thanks, Tracy.
Great show.
You've been amazing.
Oh, as always, thank you. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Have
Bye
a great fortnight. Bye.
Bye.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.